has joined. Has joined. Has joined. Has joined. Has joined.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Shemi hu, uchabri hu, ishkinte, bitkilu, urhimu, utkilu, utkilu, urhimu. Uliakta, lashem, yute, bavate. Be yehuda, shalim, bashem, kol yisrael. Limud Torah mitzvah, lasok Torah mitzvah. Vayehino amadunai Elohino adeinu ma'asei adeinu panenei aleinu ma'asei adeinu panenehu. Today we will be studying the fourth aliyah, which begins at Leviticus chapter 13, verse 55, and completes at chapter 14, verse 20. This is a total of 25 verses. The number 25 connects to a stage of completion, five sefer, five partsufim within five partsufim. And remember, a partsuf is a structure of 10 sefirot. So five times five partsufim is a total of 250 sefirot. The number 250 is the acronym Ruach and Neshama, or perhaps Nefesh and Ruach. It also stands for the word Ner, which means candle or light. Verse 55. Wirah ha-kohen aharei u-kabes et ha-nega ve-hine lo ha-fa ha-nega et eino we-anega lo fasa tamehu ba-esh Tisrefenu betetet ti bikarachto o begabachto Ve'im ra'a ha-kohen, ve'hine ke-ha-ha-nega, ahareu kabes oto, kara oto min ha-beget, o min ha-or, o min ha-shtio, min ha-erev. Ve'im tera'e od ba-beget, o ba-shti, o ba-erev, o be-kal-kheli, or porahat, i-ba-esh, ishrefenu et hasher bo hanaga, ve-ha-beget, o ha-shti, o ha-erev, o kol kli ha-or asher tika beis v'sar mehem, hanaga v'kulach she'nit v'taher, zot torat negatara'at, Beged ha-tzemer, o ha-pishtim, o ha-shti, o ha-erev, o kol kli-or le-tacharo, o le-tamo. Vaydaber Adonai Yohewahe, Adanu yo, yo aheda wanu heyo, el Moshe lemor, zot tihie torat hamzora, veyom taharato wehu ba'el hakohen, veyatza hakohen el michutz, La machane v'ra'ah ha-kohen. V'hine nirpa nega ha-tara'at min ha-tzarua. V'nitzwa ha-kohen. V'lakach la mitaher shete tziparim. Ayot tehorot etz erez ushne otola at la wezo wetziwa hakohen weshachat et hatzipor haechat el kli heres al mayim chayim et Hatzipor hachaya ika, o tavi et haerez ve'et sheni, hatola'at ve'et ha'ezov, ve'tavalotam, ve'et hatzipor hachaya bedam hatzipor. Ashu takta al hamayim, hachayim, wehiza al hamitacher, min hatzara'at sheva, pe'amim betiharo, v'shilach et hatzipor, Achaya al penei asade v'kibes, amitaher et begadav, v'gilach et kol se'aro, v'rachatz b'mayim, v'taher v'yachar yavo el hama'at, Amachane v'yasav, michutz la'ahalo, shivad yasav. Shoviet Sutanoviet Gabot Enaviet Kose Aro Yigalea Wikibes et Gadav Pirahat et Pesaro Bamaim Vitaher Uvayom Hashmini Yikach Shne Kivasim Temimim Vikav Sahat Bachinata Temima Ushlosha Ezronim Solet Mincha Belula Vashemen Vilogechad Shamen Sehe Amid Hakohen Amtaher Et Ha'esh Amitaher Biotam Lifne Adonai Yohe Wahe Adanu Yo Yoahe Dawanu Heyo Petacho Hel Moed Willata Akohen Ed Hakeves Haehad Vehi Krivo Tola Asham Beet Log Hashamen Vehenif O Tam Tanu Falif Ne Adonai Yo he wahe adanu yo. Yo ahe da wanu he yo. Wisahat ed hakeves bim kom asher yishat. Ed hachataat ve et haola bim kom hakodesh. Ki kachataat haasham. Ula Kohen Kodesh Kadashim Hu Vilaka HaKohen Midam HaAsham Winatan HaKohen Altenuch Tenuch Ozen HaMitaher Haimanit Vialbohen Yado Haimanit Vialbohen Raglo Hamanit Vilakach Hakohen Milog Hashamen Viatzak Alkaf Hakohen Hasmalit Vitaval Hakohen Et Etzpao Taimanit min hashemen, asher al kapo hashmalit, wehize min hashemen. Vietzba'o sheva pe'amim, lifne adonai, yohe wahe adanu yo, yohe da wanu heyo. Umieter Hashemen Asher al kapo Yiten hakohen al tenuch Ozen hamitaher Haimanit Vialbohen Yado Haimanit Vialbohen Raglo Haimanit Aldam Hasham Wehanotar Bishemen Asher Alka Hakohen Yiten Al Rosh Hamitaher Lekiper Alav Hakohen Lifne Adonai Yohe Wahe Adanu Yo Yo aheda wanu heyo. We asa hakohen ed hachataat keeper al hamitaher mi tumato we achar yishat et haola wehela akohin et haola viet hamincha hamizbecha we keeper alav hakohin witaher. That's the completion of the Aliyah's Hebrew reading. Now for the English translation. Verse 55, then the Kohen shall look at it after the lesion has been washed, and behold, the lesion has not changed in appearance, and the lesion has not spread. It is unclean. You shall burn it in fire. It is a penetrating lesion on the worn or new. This is actually a perfect example of why the counting of the verses is significant. This verse should have been part of the previous Aliyah, but it's not. Because of the relationships to the counting of the verses in each Aliyah, and how that helps us understand the essence of the Aliyah. Always remember, the Aliyah is in an overall frame of reference of the parasha. But if the Kohen looks after it has been washed, and behold, the lesion has become dimmer, he shall tear it out of the garment, out of the leather, or out of the warp or woof. And if it appears again on the garment, the warp or woof, or any leather article, it is a recurrent growth. You shall burn it in fire, the article upon which the lesion is found. But the garment, the warp or the woof, or any leather article which is washed and the lesion disappears from them, shall be immersed a second time, and it shall be clean. This is the law of a lesion of tzara'at on a woolen or linen garment, a warp or woof threads, or any leather article to render it clean or unclean. We move on to chapter 14, verse 1, but before we do that, if my memory serves me correct, yesterday's number of verses for the third Aliyah was 16, the sharing letters, the sharing essence of the name of Hashem, the Yud and the Vav. If we add these five to the 16, because these five belong to that subject of discussion, we would have 21 verses. 21 is the gematria of Hashem's name, Echieh, which is a name connected to Bina. But this particular discussion is not connected. The third Aliyah was not connected to Bina. It was connected to Zeranpin. It's a perfect example of why, and continues to discuss why, the number of verses is important in the Aliyah. Chapter 14, verse 1. And Hashem spoke to Moses, saying, This shall be the law of the person afflicted with tzara'at on the day of his cleansing. He shall be brought to the Kohen. Remember, he wasn't sick. He wasn't declared ill until the Kohen said he was ill. And it's up to the Kohen to say he's now clean. The Kohen, he has to, and it needs, should it be a different Kohen? It's really about noticing what happened to the mark, to the tzara'at affliction. Did it grow? Did it change? Well, if the first Kohen is a different person than the second Kohen, they're not going to understand that. So what happens if a Kohen Chas V'Shalom passes away between the first and the second viewing? I don't know what the halacha says. I imagine what it says is the person has to go through the same process to determine whether he's clean or impure with this new Kohen. Because it requires the Kohen to be aware of the situation. Now, if a Kohen anticipates his death, he'll have another Kohen observe it with him, perhaps an apprentice who's learning. I don't really know what is the halakha. Verse 3, the Kohen shall go outside the camp, and the Kohen shall look, and behold, the lesion of tzara'at has healed in the afflicted person. Then the Kohen shall order, and the person to be cleansed shall take two live clean birds, a cedar stick, a strip of crimson, and hyssop. Why these three things? Why the birds? Well, the three things all have cleansing properties. The Kohen shall order, and one shall slaughter the one bird into an earthenware vessel over spring water. The live bird, he shall take it, and then the cedar stick, the strip of crimson, and the hyssop. And along with the live bird, he shall dip them into the blood of the slaughtered bird over the spring water. He shall then sprinkle seven times upon the person being cleansed from tzara'at, and he shall cleanse him. He shall then send away the live bird into the field. There are many things of interest in these two verses. Spring water. Is there a difference between rainwater and spring water? A mikveh must have a supply of rainwater or spring water. A mikveh can be a spring. What's the difference between water that falls from the sky, which is rainwater, or water that is pushed up by the pressure of the below it, essentially going against gravity, going against the desire to receive for oneself alone? There is a difference between the water that was modified and changed by the flood of Noah and the water that comes from the meteors. Verse 8. The person being cleansed shall then immerse his garments, shave off all his hair, and immerse in water and become clean. Not necessarily spring water. After this, he may enter the camp, but he shall remain outside his tent for 7 days. But what if it's winter and it's raining? And it shall be on the seventh day that he shall shave off all his hair, his head, his beard, his eyebrows, indeed all his hair, he shall shave off. He shall then immerse his garments and immerse his flesh in water, thus becoming clean. And on the eighth day he shall take two unblemished lambs, one unblemished ewe, which is the female lamb, in its year, in its first year, 3/10 of an ephah of fine flour mixed with olive oil as a meal offering, and one log of olive oil. A log is a unit of volume, a measurement of the capacity of the oil. And the Kohen who is performing the cleansing shall place the person being cleansed with these things before Hashem at the entrance of the tent of meeting. And the Kohen shall take one lamb and bring it as a guilt offering along with the log of oil and wave them as a waving before the Hashem. Do you know what a wave offering is? It's literally the Kohen takes the thing in his hands, whether it's a person or the vial of oil, or the lamb itself. He shall wave it. He will pick it up and wave it, like saying goodbye to somebody. What does this do? What is the effect of a wave offering? I'm asking the question. I don't have never heard an answer. Doesn't mean it's not in the Talmud. I haven't read the Talmud this lifetime. But the question is asked, it will be answered. He shall slaughter the lamb in the place where one slaughters the sin offering and the burnt offering in a holy place. For regarding the Kohen's service, the guilt offering is like the sin offering. It is a holy of holies. The guilt offering and the sin offering are essentially aspects of Teshuvah. And that's why it's being called the Holy of Holies. The Kohen shall take some of the blood of the guilt offering, and the Kohen shall place it above the cartilage of the right ear of the person being cleansed, on the thumb of his right hand, and on the big toe of his right foot. Many students of Kabbalah, when they go to the kapara of Yom Kippur, which they do on the morning of the Yom Kippur, not the morning of the Erev, the morning of the Erev of Yom Kippur. When they take the blood of the chicken that they have caused to be shechted in the kosher manner, after having been waved over their head in a circle 3 times, they take the blood of this chicken and they put it on their right big toe, on their right thumb, and their right ear. Why is this being discussed? Why is this happening? Why do they do this? The right ear is a connection to Bina. The right thumb is a connection to the Keter of Malchut. And the right big toe is a connection to the Malchut of Malchut. Verse 15. And the Kohen shall take some of the log of oil and pour onto the Kohen's left palm. Why his left palm? That's his receiving palm, not his sharing palm. The Kohen shall then dip his right index finger into some of the oil that is on his left palm, and sprinkle some of the oil with his index finger 7 times before Hashem. And some of the remainder of the oil that is in his palm, the Kohen shall place on the cartilage of the right ear of the person being cleansed, on the thumb of his right hand, and on the big toe of his right foot, on top of the blood of the guilt offering. So what is happening? You're mixing blood of the shechting, of the offering of the animal with the oil. Both oil, olive oil, is left column, but it's right column of left column. And the blood is left column of left column. And what is left over from the oil that is in the Kohen's palm, he shall place upon the head of the person being cleansed. And the Kohen shall effect atonement for him before Hashem. That oil from his left column, left palm, which is his receiving palm, he's putting on the head of the person that's being declared clean, which is a reconnection of wisdom, because the oil is a connection to wisdom. And I made a mistake in the previous verse, because I said the oil is the right column of the left column, but the oil is right column, while the blood is left column. So he is mixing the two, but he's not mixing it because he's putting the two next to each other, which is creating the central column. And here he's doing it as a anointing oil on the head of the clean person. That anointing oil is how we connect to the Sefirah of wisdom. That's why the prophets all had to be anointed by the Sanhedrin. That's why the kings had to be anointed. That's why the Kohen had to be anointed with the oil on their head. Verse 19. The Kohen shall perform the service of the sin offering and effect atonement for the person being cleansed of his uncleanness. After this, he shall slaughter the burnt offering. And the Kohen shall bring up the burnt offering and the meal offering to the altar. The Kohen shall thus effect atonement for him, and he shall be completely clean. That's the end of our reading, the end of our study of the English translation. We are out of time, but feel free to ask questions. And as you're unmuting yourself, I will mention that there are 3 more classes today. One is at 11 a.m. West Coast time, and that class is a class of Musar from the Path of the Just, which is very appropriate during the time of the counting of the Omer. At 7 o'clock, we will count the Omer as well as our deep Zohar class. And at 7 p.m. West Coast time, and I said 7 p.m. for the deep Zohar and the counting, but it's really 4 p.m. West Coast time. At 7 p.m. West Coast time, we will have questions and answers. I hope you'll join us for one or all of these classes. Does anyone have any questions? I bid you all a beautiful day. Shalom Gadol to everyone. Shalom.
Shalom.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Shalom. Have a good day. Thank you.
Amen.
Thank you.
Thank you.